March 23rd, 2016, while I'm at the farm.
Yes, you do.
So, then we can have a bird's nest.
That's probably the
best. Or two or three, since it's just us. We'll wait a few more minutes, see if anyone from Oregon decides to join.
I know Ryan will not be calling in.
This is Bernadette.
Oh, hello Bernadette.
Hi.
Then I guess we can get started. Unless, do you know of anyone else who's going to call in, Bernadette?
Is Cameron here?
Cameron's
like, oh yeah, I might have to take it off stealth mode so I can hear him.
Tell when people call in.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go around on the phone then. Who do we have? I have Doug and Bernadette and Cameron. Anyone else?
This is Greg up at Minto.
Hey, Greg.
How are you?
Good.
This is Natalie.
Hello, Natalie. Anyone else? All right, and then around the room, we have this is Tammy.
Jane.
Chad Helms.
Greg Taylor.
Andy Traylor.
Kim Hatfield is next.
She feels a little outnumbered.
She can handle it.
Yeah. Anne might call in, but she's the only other person. Ed's in Missouri.
Okay.
Stephanie's, of course, on vacation.
Sure. Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of decisions to make at this meeting, so that's all right. All right, so are there any additions to the agenda that anyone would like to make? All right, how about approval of the February meeting minutes? Everybody got their comments in? Excellent. Moving on, action items. Andy.
Yes. What's my action?
To convene.
Did you look in agenda?
Yeah.
So you know what you're on the hook for?
Yeah,
you're on the hook for a bunch of stuff, buddy. Otherwise, this thing's going to be over in about 30 seconds.
Actually, this whole meeting is all you, Andy.
Oh, great.
So, carry us.
Yeah, so HMT is scheduled for next week, March 30th, I believe. It's going to be held in Adair Village. Let's see, I invited all the regional bios, CAM, all the hatchery managers are also invited. I think Ryan Couture was going to pass that along to you guys, Greg. So that'll be good to get folks back together. Like I mentioned before, I wanted to kind of see how this whole WF POM thing would work out insofar as the details of the specific hatchery projects and what was going on and whether or not we needed a separate meeting. At this point, it seems like it would be beneficial to at least do it part of the year, seasonally, maybe. I think probably right now we'll leave it as monthly just because coming into the spring is a busy time for decisions and all sorts of other things. So hopefully we'll be able to discuss the disposition spreadsheet for the year. Bernadette, I know I talked to you about this a couple weeks ago, and it sounded like you guys met internally and would have a draft ready by next week. Is that correct?
Yeah, we met internally, and we're just kind of reviewing it internally to make sure that I captured everything from our meeting. And I don't want to point at anyone, but maybe Cameron could speak to whether he thinks it'll be ready by next week.
Yeah, I think it'll be ready by next week.
Okay.
That was easy.
Great. Thanks, guys. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I have on that one.
All right, and then the other action item is, I believe, Fenton's for the fish ladder equipment installation. Which I don't think anyone has seen yet.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I didn't get any comments.
No.
My email.
No, we know it's supposed to be coming, but... Yeah.
Is it coming from Fenton?
It's supposed to come from Fenton, yeah. Because when... Do you know when they wanted to do that equipment installation? Were you aware of it?
Very good.
They already did it?
I was aware of it. Yeah, I think they might have tried to take care of it.
I thought it was already done.
Yeah, like the winter outage
period. It was already out? Mm-hmm. So it didn't require a coordination then?
Yeah.
It's quite possible.
I thought maybe when they were doing
some of the safety stuff?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah. It was already down.
Okay.
Stuck it in.
Right.
Which is fine if it was, when it was already out.
Yeah. Because if they're still looking to schedule it, it's almost too late at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, exactly. So, if you don't mind, just check with Ben to make sure that's done and that we don't still have one coming. We'll cross that off. All right, so moving on to updates, HMT.
Right. So, Ryan Couture wasn't able to call in, but he did mention that there's no major issues at any of the hatcheries right now. Everything's pretty much status quo. But, Greg, I'll let you speak to Marion Forks and Minto if you want to provide us with a quick update.
All right, Marion Forks, we were able to spawn our spring Chinook this last week. Not sure the anomaly. We're a little over 2,000 temperature units at ponding. Usually we're somewhere between 1,600 and 1,800. I don't know if it's just the odd temperatures this winter or a cause and effect of the stressed out females and a high loss in the eggs. The ones we ponded looking good and they're starting to feed a little bit, so. We're just a couple weeks late on our normal ponding. Everything else up there is good. We're still continuing to get in snow, which is a good thing. Here at Minto, we've collected and passed 45 winter steelhead. This time last year, we had done 43. The anomaly this year is 33 of the 45 are males. Not sure why, but maybe they're just coming first or something. But anyways, the only other stuff really going on, we've got the summer steelhead smolts. We'll probably try to get out next week or the week after when we see some lower flows, and the safety upgrades are progressing nicely. We've got approval to use the pre-sort ladder. The city are starting to work on the post-sort crowder. So,
great.
About all I got.
Thank you, sir. The other...
Greg, this is Cameron. Sorry to interrupt. What about the pit tag detection arrays at Minto? Are they, what's the status of those?
They were working on last week, early this week, running all the conduit. The box is up and it looks like a lot of conduit is run. I haven't heard of when the wire pulling is going to happen. But they have been working on it.
Okay, thanks.
The other item of note is at McKenzie Hatchery. We got an update from Kurt the other day. It sounds like they have just awarded or are about to award the contract for the Cogswell Creek Mixing Project, and they would be expecting to break ground, sounded like sometime in April, and that the plan would be to actually move some of the production to Lieberg Hatchery for a short amount of time. While they make those switches with the water supply, just because they wouldn't be able to keep all of their ponds up and running. But it's good to see that project moving forward and then eventually see what kind of effect it'll have.
This is Cameron again, and along those lines, just on spec, Michelle Scanlon, who was trained for water sampling by Andy Dittman, and I sampled the various sources of water at McKenzie Hatchery a couple weeks ago to get pre-construction or pre-mixing samples, and the idea being that if funding becomes available, we'll repeat the sampling after construction and see whether we can actually detect an effect ahead of time on actual water chemistry rather than have to wait possibly years for adults to come back.
Cool. Thanks, Cam. All right. I think that's all I have. But Jane, if you would just make a note, would you please add Lieberg Hatchery under the HMT updates?
I will do that.
We don't want to leave Lieberg out.
Added.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we still have 200,000 fish on station at McKenzie. That was the last I heard. Okay.
Hi, this is Dan Spear. I just joined.
Hello, Dan.
Morning.
Nice of you to join us.
Yeah, this is Mike Hudson. I'm also on the line.
Do we have any other lurkers on the phone?
Ann Mullen from NIMS.
And this is Lance Kruzik with NIMS.
Good morning, Lance.
Hey, Lance.
Morning.
All right. HGMPs?
All right. Well timed, Dan and Lance. Feel free to chime in here if you want. But HGMP update is that McKinsey is done. I think we reported that last time. That's been submitted to NIMS. They issued a sufficiency letter back. The North San Diem is very close to being completed. There's a discussion at the manager's level about how to represent some of the information that we've compiled. Once that decision has been made, that'll shake out into the North San Diem, the South, and then also probably the Middle Fork as well. The South San Diem has been progressing, I would say, fairly nicely. We're nearing the end of that one, but it'll probably extend into April a little bit. And then we're kicking off the Middle Fork HGMP this Thursday and beginning to discuss some of the issues there. So I think originally the schedule had us being completed with all the HGMPs by the end of April. I think that might slip a little bit, but probably not too far into May. Those of you on the HGMP tech team, you want to add anything to that?
Nope, I don't have anything to add to that, Andy.
Neither do I. I think you summarized it well, thanks.
All right.
Thank you, same here.
Thanks, guys.
All right, moving on to research updates. We don't have anyone from planning here. Do you know of any updates?
I do not.
All right.
Harmony meeting next week to talk about FY17.
Okay. Also on the 30th, actually.
Yeah, and I know Rich is putting together a flow workshop-ish thing for the 12th of April to begin talking about flows and flow management. So
yeah, Anne might be able to do that too.
I know I talked with him yesterday about it. People should see that.
Okay. So put that as an action for Chris to follow up on that. All right. Water quality updates. Well, we have no one here.
They are not here, but I know Catherine Tackley and Dan Turner are going to be out at Cougar tomorrow doing some water quality monitoring out on site, which will be great. Just FYI, the turbidity levels there, background are about 1 NTU, so it's, you know, it's distilled water practically, and it's crazy. But it's during this diversion tunnel work and debris work we've been doing. When the tunnel first opened, we were up around 40 for about a half hour, dropped back down. We've been running around 5 NTU since then. So they're going to be out on site and doing some more water quality work tomorrow. That's all I know.
Do you have a flow update by any chance?
Sure. I'll do the flow section. Well, there's more water in the Willamette project than there was all last year so far, so that's a good thing. The system is, it's got to be bordering on about 60% full at this point, which is great. The inflows are high to the project. The Willamette snowpack or snow water equivalent is one of the lowest in the state, but it's still, you know, much better. We're running about 90% of average. Last year at this time, we were at about 10. So we're doing a lot better, which is a good thing. I think if you look at the different individual projects outside of a Cougar, everything looks like it's on track to fill. So it's a very different water year. It's going to be a very different water supply, at least so far. The main stem flow targets, we're running at over 50,000 CFS at Salem right now, so I think the target will be 17.8 on the 1st of April. So, border, or you know, short of some just miraculous, unforeseen event, we're not going to have any issues meeting main stem flow targets for the near term, which is great. Lookout Point is unique this year. Lookouts had, for most of people's involvement with this group, it's had an interim risk reduction measure associated with it, which basically resulted in a lower elevation and lookout that we could fill to. Instead of 926, we were down at elevation 915, which is a pretty good chunk of water, stored water in the Middle Fork that hadn't been available in the past. So that's been pulled. So Lookout could fill this year if the water is there and available. I think Hills Creek is going to be drawn down near midsummer, so there's going to be some water in the Middle Fork that might be available. That helps other projects. That can help the Santa Yams. It can help us kind of balance what we do in the Santa Yams with Green Peter and Detroit. So that'll be nice to have back online. It'll take some pressure off there and might allow us to do fish operations longer in some of those systems. But it's a completely different water here.
Greg, is there any concern about low snow water equivalent in Minto Forks,
you know,
or the others above Arsenia?
I know that it looked to me, and I haven't looked lately, like, yeah, you're right, Ann, some of those individual basins are tracking a little bit differently. I guess the comment I would have is, generally speaking, the further south you are, it seems like the stronger you are a little bit. So, for instance, the Rogue is one of the best snowpacks in the state. And so, yeah, I think the North Santa Yam is not doing as well as some of the other individual sub-basins. That being said, it's significantly better than last year. And if you're looking at the inflows at Detroit right now, I mean, they're strong. I mean, we're in the mid-4,000s or something like that. And so right now, you know, everything's looking really good. We're very close to the spillway crest. We're within just a few feet of the spillway crest now. So far, everything's looking good. If it continues, this spring rain is so key in the Willamette. And when we get it, it takes so much pressure off of refill. So it's really huge. And we talk about snowpack a lot, but you know, it's a pretty minor but important player at certain times of the year. So having this spring rain has been really great. And March, we were just looking at it yesterday, March is about 200% of average for precip so far. So yeah. Sucks for spring break, but it's been great for water supply. I'm getting tired of the gray and rainy, but it is good for water and fish.
It's normal spring break.
Fish like it.
In the past, spring break was always rainy and nasty.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the impromptu flow update.
I appreciate that. Yeah, people are definitely out to the office this week. Mm-hmm. Think about that next year. Oregon, do you have a pinniped update?
This is Bernadette. I can give you an update. So this is the third year that our staff are out there monitoring, counting sea lions below the falls and making observations of the predation they see. There are currently about 12 to 15 California sea lions below the falls, but they've seen predation kind of dropping off as the river flows have come up, so that's good. This isn't predation related, but the winter steelhead count as of March 17th was 3,669, which is slightly above the 10-year average of 3,300 fish by that date.
Thank you. All right, Dan, do you have any BPA updates?
I do not. Thank you, though.
And this brings us to the outage of the Cougar unit.
I'll take that one, I guess.
Okay.
I think we gave a pretty detailed update last time just to set the scene in terms of what was happening at Cougar, but short summary there, the units have been out because of a debris that was getting into the units. Monitoring revealed that trash racks in the lower part of the tower were three trash racks at the base of the tower had actually come off. And there's a picture circulating that's been circulating since yesterday afternoon. You can see those, and that's why we were getting the debris that we were getting. So we've been drying up the cul-de-sac, moving the PFFC, doing lots of work. The cul-de-sac is dry. The Rush Creek diversion was in place and did move Rush Creek out to the reservoir, which was a good thing. A crane is being assembled in front of the tower now, and they're going to start removing the debris that's in place, and then they're going to begin to do work to reinstall these trash racks that are on the ground, but also make sure that the remaining trash racks are also kind of fortified, and we're not going to have those falling in as well. So everything from a scheduling standpoint is on schedule, which is good news. Looks like the first part of April, we'll start to refill. The pool right now is at elevation 1458, something like that. Just for a reminder, to even operate the temperature tower, we need to be at 1571. So we got some ground to make up at Cougars. We better hope we keep this spring rain going. We're going to need almost 100 feet to even get going. And then to make it through the summer, we really need to be at least at about 1600 in that pool to be able to do temperature operations. And that's even a modified temperature operation, because we essentially keep it at minimum outflow for the rest of the summer. So the modeling showed if the flows are average, that we might attain something like 1630 in the reservoir. So that would allow us to make it through the year with a normal operations. We will, assuming we're on schedule and the 1st of April rolls around, we will get the fish facility up and running at that point. Probably won't be real effective initially because the units won't be online. The units have to wait to come online until about elevation 1516. So once we attain that in the refill, then we'll be able to bring the units online. But we'll start the fish facility anyway and get it rolling and see how it works with the diversion tunnel providing the attraction flow. Yeah, everything's going well. I'm amazed. So far, it's going well. We did do a fish salvage. One dace was saved.
Was he saved or was he dead?
I don't think he was saved.
He was saved. Okay, so one dace.
Awesome.
Speckled dace.
Speckled dace, a few crayfish.
Excellent.
Went back to Cougar Reservoir alive. It's good news. No, it was difficult. There was one kind of small residual pool right in front of the old cofferdam. That's where the fish was. Other fish would have settled in two places. The Rush Creek diversion is the deep spot, and luckily that's got a culvert drain in it. So anybody that settled in there was passed back out to the reservoir, and I think that's probably where the lion's share of the fish ended up. In front of the tower itself was also a residual pool of water. Did we see any fish in there? We didn't see any fish in there. That being said, it's a difficult place to access, to be honest. It's got debris and it's quite deep. Water that remained in there was passed down the penstock. So presumably some fish or whatever fish remained in there did go down through the units. They would have gone down through the diversion
via the... No, they burnt units. The penstock.
Yeah, so they actually did go through the units. They would have gone through the units, and the units weren't spinning. So, yeah, it wasn't very exciting on the fish salvage front, but we had people available and made sure that any fish that were there were salvaged. But it's going well. And hopefully that means we're going to be operating normally for the fish passage season and through the fall. PFFC will be put back in place, and there's at another meeting we'll discuss, we'd like to discuss the idea of orienting the PFFC slightly differently than we have in the past. And Todd's going to send something out for people to look at and see what they think of that.
So have Chris follow up with Rich to make sure that's on the Fitterwick agenda. Thank you, Greg. All right, so coordination forms. Jane, do you have all the info on these? When you get there.
Mm-hmm. We have one right now, and it's the Blue River RO outage. So scheduled, what? The date of impacts will be 17 May to 18 May. And spoke with Greg, and this is an operation that has happened 2011, 2006, 2001. Minimal impact.
You want me to give a little history?
Sure, yeah.
Since I'm the old guy.
Yes.
So just for people's awareness, we have what's called a periodic inspection of some of our of our dams in general. Periodic inspections of regulating outlet gates occur on a 5-year time step. And at Blue River, what that means, Blue River has a regulating outlet gate and it has emergency spillway gates. It doesn't have any other way of passing water downstream except one feature. That one feature happens to be a 12-inch pipe, if you can believe this. So the 12-inch pipe waters up, in quotes, Blue River during this inspection, because there is no other way to pass water downstream. So what that looks like is that pipe will pass about 15 CFS. Minimum flows Blue River that time of the year can be around 50. And so this inspection, yeah, as Jane mentioned, has occurred in 2001. It occurred in 2006. 11 was the last time we did it, again, that 5-year time step. In 11, we had people out on site, including ODFW, Mike Hoganson, and one other ODFW employee. Blue River was down around 50, pulled it down to this 15 CFS, and then dispersed the biologists to walk lower Blue River, and they completed a salvage form, and basically what was observed was 7 fish stranded. I think it was like 5 sculpin and 2 salmonids. Those fish were all actually returned to the river alive, because we had people just kind of scattered around down there. The plan is to have people out on site again during this drawdown or this operation, salvage any fish that are observed, note any fish that are mortalities, and then pass that information along to everybody. So it has happened in the past. I talked with Ziller about it recently again, just in person, but it's not a great operation, but unfortunately, to do those inspections, it's really the only way that it can be done. Yeah. So that's the plan.
A couple of questions. This is Kim from NIMS. A couple of questions. It doesn't state in here. I'm assuming you guys are going to ramp down according to ramp rates. And it might be worth in the monitoring section noting that you're not just going to look for stranding, but we'll salvage as necessary.
Okay.
Report.
Yeah.
Since that's what you're doing.
Yeah, might as well get credit.
Get credit for it, yeah, so put it in the record there. So that was our feedback.
Yeah, on the ramp down, what we would like to do is not actually follow the buy-up ramp rates, do something a lot more conservative. So ramp down over a series of days if we need to, if we're not already down there, so that we can get to 50 and be at that lowest level that we can before we make that transition to the pipe. Once you go to the pipe, you kind of go to the pipe.
Yeah.
So there will be a violation from whatever, 50 down to 15. But if we do a good job prior to that, hopefully that'll keep most of those fish in the wetted channel even before we make that transition. So.
All right, anyone else have any comments on that? You have until April 14th to submit comments. You can either call Chris or Greg and provide comments or send an email. And we'll get those in the coordination form for the record. I will make those updates.
Oh, okay.
To it.
Since I came all this way.
Yeah.
I'm here in person.
Yes, you will get credit for this.
Extra credit points.
Extra credit.
And at least 5 treats.
At least.
For those of you on the phone, there are really cute bird's nests here that you're missing out on. Apparently nobody else is eating them either, though, so there's that.
So all right. The only other coordination form we had was just, I talked to Chris about it, and it was just about ramp rates, and he said it's just, we violated ramp rates.
Yeah, a question on that, maybe suggested addition to the form, I'm glad you brought it up, is to maybe explain why. I mean, I appreciate being notified that
yes.
You know, something happened, but it would be good to document why, so that if it's something that could be addressed or fixed for future reference or avoided in the future, it would
no,
be
that's,
helpful.
That's a great idea. I think my understanding, I went in and checked just with their operators and to see what happened. My take home from the discussion I had with the operator who was on duty at the time was that he was looking at the biop ramp rates, but he was also looking at downstream control points and flow, and he overshot. So operator error, I guess, would be the category.
Yeah. Well, it's an opportunity to identify it.
No,
training or coordination or something else up front.
Yeah.
Not to get anybody.
Yep.
So we can learn from the event and move on.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, so we'll add that in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so moving on to the fish, the WFOP. So after our meeting earlier this month, there were quite a lot of changes requested in format and then just the presentation of information. Excuse me. So... No, apparently I'm not going to talk about it. We are working on that. I finished the overview section, and I have it out for internal review. And then I'll start working on the chapters.
Maybe you need a treat.
It's an emotional
something.
Topic.
It's very choked
up. This document.
You shouldn't cry about it.
My goodness. It'll be so great. Anyhow, we are working on it, so we won't have a printed version right away, but we are hoping that you will review the version that will come out, if I can get it done, by the end of the month or certainly early April. And then we can continue to have further discussions on any proposed changes. But Ed had quite a few suggestions, and it just takes a little while to get everything formatted and make sense. So we're working on it. We have no pending change forms other than the ones that were already submitted that we have not yet discussed. And then there's a potential change form for the upstream fish transport frequency. At the meeting on the 8th, Ed had said that he was not okay with delaying fish.
Right.
but we will we will have further discussion on all of those proposed changes later.
I propose a site visit for Ed this summer.
Yes, and so that would be a good idea is to actually have an FPOM meeting down in the valley at one of the sites.
Let's do it.
That would make
especially
sense.
Especially in the summer. We can do a little potluck lunch.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty remote. All right.
So we're going to delay discussion of those until...
Right, until I can at least get them reformatted and deal with those changes, because there were a lot of those.
Really?
And then we can actually talk about the actual content.
There's probably like 70 forms for that, right?
Yeah, only 70. And I remember when we first did the FPP and did formatting and those kind of change forms, and there were over 100, so we'll get there. It's just taking a little bit longer. All right, so task group updates. Chris isn't here, but water quality met already. Next meeting is April 13th. Your HMT meeting is next week.
March 30th, correct.
And then we have the summer steelhead task group, which is a carryover from the HMT meetings.
Right. Yeah, we never really did a whole lot.
Bye.
With that. Within the HMT group. But I think what's been proposed and what I would like to see happen is to revisit the summer steelhead HGMP after we're done with the four sub-basins that we're working on right now with the same group of people, with the same facilitation team. So it's kind of on hold until then. I don't think it'd be, at least I don't have the time to do anything with it right now in addition to all the other sub-basins. I think it'd be nice to kind of square those away first and then look at summer steelhead, but then also trout and look at that HGMP again.
So are you thinking June or July we can just put a time frame in there so we don't...
Yeah, probably be a good time to look at it.
Summer, something like that. All right.
Yeah. That's all I got.
That brings us to the end of the agenda. Unless anyone has anything else that you would like to discuss. Since we have time, if not, then the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Doug.
Yes?
I just want to be a little birdie and say that as of the 21st of March, we have 5 spring Chinook over Willamette Falls. Water temperature is that day 50 degrees F. So it's coming.
Nice.
Here they come.
All right.
All right.
That's it. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks.